Our next speaker will sort of continue on this theme of understanding, of taking these tools and understanding a lot of basic biology then in stem cell aging. So we have Irina Convoy, who's an associate professor in the Department of Bioengineering at UC Berkeley and also a member of their stem cell program. She's been awarded funding from CIRM, as well as the Ellison Medical Foundation, NIH, and has been very well published over the last several years. So again, I don't want to take too much time from her, so I'll turn things over.
Excellent. Thank you, Adam, and everybody else. I'm enjoying tremendously being at this meeting. And sorry, I'm wearing the coat because it's a little bit chilly here. So aging is very obvious and easy to recognize in humans as well as in mice. And it's not strange for humans, right? We know right away that this is an older individual, this is a young person, and this is actually not the progression of aging. Those women are members of the same family, they just look very much alike. But why do we recognize immediately that this mouse is old? Because mice are very different from people. They have fur, they are little. But the reason that we recognize an old mammal right away because many of the same very unfortunate events take place in both species. For example, there is muscle atrophy, cataracts, gray hair, decline in cognition and memory, flare of cancers, diabetes, cardiovascular problems, and the whole milieu of pathologies associated with aging. But in mice, they take place on a very shorter, much shorter time scale. Only for 2 years, right? Whereas 2-year-old human will never have cataracts. So that tells us that aging is not simply a wear and tear, as was brilliantly represented by this old sneaker and young sneaker by the previous presenter. Aging is a regulated process, and if we could understand the mechanism of regulation, then we could deliberately interfere and delay or perhaps reverse the onset of tissue aging. So we work on adult stem cells represented here by baby faces, and what we know is that the cells persist with age, they do not disappear. And furthermore, they are capable of tissue repair. But unfortunately, their regenerative capacity is inhibited by the old decrepit organ. And fortunately for us, this inhibition is reversible. So what we are looking to do is to see what happens if you boost regenerative capacity of stem cells in older individuals. Will that reverse the process of tissue aging, and can be applied globally to multiple organ systems. So all tissue regenerates poorly, as you can see here, and what you can see on top is that this is the muscle, skeletal muscle, which has been injured by snake venom, cardiotoxin, and there is a very nice threshold between non-injured part and injured part. Then just 5 days later, young muscle in humans and in mice will regenerate and form these new, nice muscle fibers. But look what happens in old person or animal. There is no functional tissue and replacement of functional muscle that has been damaged with scarring, fibrosis, and inflammation. And that does not happen just in skeletal muscle. That is actually typical of almost every organs and tissues in older mammals. We are losing functional cells and replacing them with inflammation, adipose tissue, and fibrosis. So as you probably have guessed, I come from Russia, and there are 3 questions in every Russian revolution, which work very well. What's wrong? Who is to blame? And what to do about it? And what's wrong? And this is actually very applicable to pursuit of science. So what's wrong is that stem cells do not work in the old. Who is to blame? Actually not stem cells. It's just the molecules which are exuded by their environment. They are getting wrong signals from their environment. And what to do about it? Recalibrate these biochemical regulators back to young levels. So now all cells will start responding as functionally and as effectively as young. So from stem cell point of view, stem cell has an interface with the rest of the body, and it receives numerous signals from tissue locally to tell it, is the tissue damaged or not. From blood circulation, there are some insulin, growth hormone, other endocrine factors, as well as from the rest of the organs. For example, if you have young heart, lungs, immune system, and liver, your stem cells will work much better as compared to if all of the organs are bad. And that's why not only experimental interventions, but simple things like eating well and exercising also promote tissue regeneration. So the main premise that we have, and it's very promising for the Regenerative Alliance and all of us, is that if you have an old stem cell and you put it in a young environment, it immediately will start working as young stem cell. It doesn't have much intrinsic defects. It just immediately rejuvenated. That main premise has been confirmed in a couple of experiments. The old experiment is when researchers took pieces of muscle from young rat and implanted it in the old rat, or vice versa. And in these experiments, the success in the regenerative outcome was always determined by the age of the host, not by the age of the transplanted cell, such that old piece of muscle became young and well regenerated when transplanted into young animal. But young piece of muscle degraded and fall apart in old animal. So that actually brings about a couple of interesting questions. One of them, that if we pin our hopes on transplanting stem cells and their progeny, saying that if we put healthy young cells in a pathological environment, we cure the disease. Maybe not. Maybe those cells will be immediately aged and rendered ineffective upon transplantation into pathological old environment. And we have a project in the laboratory trying to improve outcomes of transplantations of cells and tissue specifically into the older individual. And a little bit more elegant experiment. Two mice, young and old, were connected in what is called heterochronic parabiosis. So they shared blood circulation, and that is published in Nature 2005 and then continued in several other publications. So the question was, if you connect young mouse and old mouse and they share blood, will you get two young mice, two old mice, or two middle-aged mice? So the answer was that actually on a short time scale, youth predominates and old mouse becomes significantly rejuvenated, which is shown here. So these are two young mice connected together, nice formation of new muscle tissue shown here by red cells or replacement. All young mouse sharing blood with old mouse looks still okay. Two old mice, of course, have very poor muscle regeneration. There is scarring, almost no formation of new muscle tissue. But look at this situation. This is an old animal that shares blood with young animal. And muscle regeneration looks almost identical to the young one. And the animal is chronologically the same as this one. And so we also knew that not only for muscle, but for liver, brain, hippocampal neurogenesis, and bone marrow already in 2005. But you have to take it with a grain of salt, because it is not simply that if you drink the blood of a young person, you become young, or stories of vampires are correct. No, it is not like that at all. I just want to tell you right away, it is not like that. Because the old animal also benefits with set of young organs. Old animal now has access to young heart, liver, kidneys, and has much better general blood oxygenation, energy homeostasis, many of those things. Plus, this procedure is pretty old, and in 1957, people tried to have one old rat and suture it with six young rats, trying to dilute the effects of aging, have this poor animal conglomerate. And it didn't work to increase the lifespan. So we know that collectively, as a proof of principle, parabiosis works to tell us that aged stem cells will work effectively right away if the environment is good. But as a translational procedure, obviously, it is not very good, neither elegant nor ethical. So then, to look for the specific translational targets, we have identified a bunch of molecules, and they are listed here. For example, activation of NOTCH, inhibition of Wnt, inhibitions of TGF-beta, antibodies against inflammatory molecule or osteopontin, which is shown here, and a number of other molecules which could be delivered into old muscle and make it young very quickly. For example, for osteopontin, young control muscle regenerates very well. But if you add osteopontin to young muscle, it now resembles old muscle. And old muscle in which osteopontin is inhibited now looks very nice and healthy like young muscle. So those molecules are plentiful. Then the question is, why do we select particular proteins or molecules, and how come they are not yet translated into drug targets? So in the next two slides, I will tell you why. So even though there are thousands of inputs from organs, tissues, bloodstream, and so forth to stem cells filter all of them to control precisely intensity level of those canonical signal transduction pathways. And whether cell will divide, die, differentiate, become quiescent or senescent or repair tissue depends on how much are the levels of each one of these pathways, plus they also crosstalk with each other. So it's combinatorial signaling. So what we have been focusing on lately, trying to calibrate precisely to young levels signaling strength of, for example, TGF-beta signal transduction pathway. And when we do that, results are pretty good. So we have already published on the rejuvenation of muscle when TGF-beta is attenuated to young levels. And here I will just show you what happens in the model of diabetes when the same pathway is attenuated to young levels. And first of all, young muscle stem cells make good muscle fibers. If you now induce diabetic disease by STZ and ablate beta cells, so it's type 1 diabetes, this looks like old. There is no myogenesis. And the same is true if you look at muscle repair in vivo. Old muscle does not regenerate well. And young muscle from mice which have diabetes does not regenerate well. So there's significant decline. And what we have uncovered is that similar to the aging in diabetes, there is upregulation of TGF-beta signaling, such as that there is more myostatin and more TGF-beta receptor 1. And then, of course, logically, we decided to help in diabetic condition and to make tissue repair very effective. So we can cure decline in muscle repair, of course, by insulin, but we can also cure decline in muscle repair by follistatin, which antagonizes myostatin, and also by ALK5 inhibitor of TGF-beta receptor, which antagonizes the signaling. And this is quantified here, and this is just the control experiments showing that our attenuation of TGF-beta receptor pathway worked. So young muscle which is injured will regenerate, muscle from diabetic young mice will not. With insulin, you improve situation, but combination of, but with follistatin or ALK5 inhibitor, you will improve it even more. And the cool part is that when we attenuate to TGF-beta signaling, we do not cure diabetes. These mice still have high glucose blood levels, but nevertheless, they are able to effectively repair tissues. And so we are thinking of that as another addition to insulin, because if insulin levels vacillate, every time that happens, you can have deleterious effect on numerous tissues. And if you prevent tissue loss by additional molecules, that certainly should have therapeutic potential. And then the very last slide is to show you that some of the molecules on which we are working not only rejuvenate muscle repair, but also has positive effect on brain pathologies such as Alzheimer's disease. So these molecules are enriched from human embryonic stem cell secretome. So they are secreted by human embryonic stem cells and enriched by using our patenting technology with our heparin beads because they have heparin binding domains. And then addition of these molecules in vivo to old mice allows a significant improvement of muscle regeneration. And furthermore, these molecules have neuroprotective effects in Alzheimer's disease in human cortical neurons. For example, when we measure the levels of MAP2 and activated caspase, in the control situation, 50% or more of the neurons die from A-beta exposure. But if they have been pretreated, if A-beta have been pretreated with proteins from human embryonic stem cell secretome, then neurons survive much better and neuronal cell death is much less. So this is pretty much the gist of my presentation, and my last questions are, is why there is still no meaningful intervention into aging? The reason for that is this evolutionary known phenomena of antagonistic pleiotropy, because manipulation in NOHBN, TGF-beta, and so such pathways are deleterious, right? You will have massive oncogenic transformation and poor formation of blood lineages and deregulation of immune responses. So what to do about it? We work on useful recalibration. Instead of turning the genetic pharmacological switch up or down, we try to calibrate signal transduction strength in the old animal to precisely young levels and keep it like that. And we believe that that will allow us to have sustainable long-term intervention into tissue aging. And then, of course, there will be no silver bullet, there will be no single pathway or molecule which will delay or reverse onset of aging or will be responsible for rejuvenating effects of heterochronic parabiosis. It will be a combination of factors. But in the general idea, and this is my summary statement, is that if you think about early 1900s, where people did not know about antibiotics, there are numerous diseases, numerous infectious diseases and inflammation of tissues after surgery, and it was very difficult to treat. Then, once we discovered antibiotics, we discovered the paradigm shift which allows us simultaneously to cure a broad class of diseases, which would be unimaginable if you told it to somebody in the early 1900s. So in Canvo Lab, we are looking for exactly the same paradigm shift in aging. We try to identify what is the unified biochemical reason for aging of multiple tissues. And can we therefore use one class, general class of molecules, or one general approach to broadly reverse tissue aging? Thank you very much.